And welcome back to The Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. I'm Amanda Coulson. I'm the Executive Director of the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and you're listening to 96.9 Guardian Talk Radio. We're here tonight talking about the exhibition Seascape Poetics, which was supposed to be in person but is now going online. You can see it at www.seascapepoetic.com. There's a series of events happening in the month of February, and this is an exhibition that brings together six Caribbean artists, one of whom is Bahamian, the others are from various other places, Dominican Republic, St. Vincent. I think Olivia is from Jamaica. I can't remember where Deborah's from. And it draws on the work of their work, which is largely based around water. And the show brings together different ideas. We're going to speak to two of the artists now. The first artist is Edrin Simonet, who is a local. He's been on our show before. And actually, his work will not be in the show because he was supposed to take part in it and had to, because of COVID-19, was not able to. So, Edrin, tell us a little about that whole journey and about the work you were going to do, about, again, living on an island, because we're talking about these like barriers that we have. I think we have a barrier of water between the capital, New Providence, and New Eleuthera. We have the barrier of the bad Wi-Fi connection. We have the barrier of COVID. Tell us a little bit about that and how you've been, again, dealing with all of that through this time.
I think myself, just like most of us, have been trying to kind of ultimately make the best of the situation. It's been very, very difficult. It's been very difficult to do work during the time. I know a lot of my material I can't actually find here in the Bahamas. Stuff, especially because it's a life casting technique, and all of my material is really found side of Bahamas. But in terms of living on an island and an island itself, I tend to look at a lot of the natural things that are around me, you know, sand, and particularly the pieces that Simone had spoken about was my pieces that were a part of the show, Leisho Johnson, at the National Gallery of Skin and Sand. And essentially what I did was create these casts of, you know, everyday people that I saw. And I utilized sand from different parts of the island that I was on at the time, which was on the island, and each was diverse. See, each type of sand has its own sort of kind of characteristic, and I think that spoke not only to us as Bahamians, but us residing within the Caribbean, as we've been in America, well, are all the same, but also, you know, different. And then the pieces themselves were sort of kind of trying to stay away from that touristic idea of what people generally think of when they think about Caribbean art, you know, beach scene, palm trees, that sort of kind of thing, especially in the installation piece that I did with the Battle of Street, which essentially was a full body installation of someone that was thrown out on the sand, made from sand, but as opposed to being like sort of kind of relaxed state, it was more of that of a corpse, basically reflecting a lot of the socioeconomic issues that we have going on, especially within the inner city on islands like New Providence and Nassau, you know. So it's sort of kind of taking a different look at residing on these Caribbean islands. It's not all sand, sea, and sun, you know. It's real life for some of us, and it's very difficult for some of us living here.
I think we've lost Edrin, so unfortunately. I don't know how much of the audience got to hear that. Definitely, a lot of you would have seen his work at the NAGB. He was speaking of the piece of Skin and Sand that was on at the National Art Gallery with the artist Leisho Johnson, where he cast a body out of sand. And he used different kinds of sand to speak about the different kinds of people that are in the Caribbean, the different kinds of people that live in one nation. And of course, also address the socioeconomic differences of those of us that have leisure time and see the beach as a place of leisure and those that don't. And also contrasting this idea of like what a beach is and really dealing with a lot of those different ideas to show kind of like real life through the use of our natural resources. So unfortunately, we've lost Edrin, which is a kind of typical example of the problems we have in the Caribbean, doing things on a normal day is this difficult. Forget about COVID-19. This happens, you know, every year when the rains come. So it's always a challenge for us. And I think that's why it's kind of great to see young curators and artists really fight against because it's easy to give up. It's so easy to say, you know what, it's just too much of an effort. Let's just stay in all this. So it's great to see a show like this where everyone's kind of really making this effort to bring people together, to work together. So I'm sorry we lost Edrin, but that gives Nadia extra time. So Nadia is one of the other artists who was lucky enough to not have her work cut from the show because it does translate into the digital realm. And Nadia is a artist living in St. Vincent, which is quite probably not as far as it should be from here, but is really hard to get to. She's a self-taught artist, and she works in photography. Since 2010, she's built a body of images that are characterized by her observation and interest in the everyday. And her work merges documentary and conceptual practices, which explore belonging, identity, and memory through a contemporary approach focused on representing Caribbean landscapes and the sea. So you've been very patient, Nadia. Last but not least, welcome to the show. Very nice to see you again after such a long time.
Yeah, thank you for having me, Amanda. It's so great to see you in this capacity.
It's been great to you too. And I remember when the last time I saw your work in a show, it was actually in Toronto at Ken Montague's, I think, did something. And I saw your work there. So it's just weird how these places and faces keep coming, bringing us back together. So tell us a little bit about the piece you have in the show and about your work in general and, you know, how it's been to, like, again, pivot at this time and you know, go from I'm going to be going up to Montreal to have a show to working online. How's that all been for you? And how's it for you in St. Vincent?
Okay. I guess I can start with a piece that's in the show. Bettina, Simone, and Alex selected an image from a series I have called Transformations, which is series of like 11 photographs, these diptychs that merge basically portions of my body with different types of marine life, so like coral, sea urchins, different parts of coral. And the specific piece that they're showing is image with the back of my head merging into a black sea urchin, which has sort of become this image that's kind of represented this idea of like Caribbean identity in this very strange way. And I say strange because, I mean, it's something that I sort of stumbled across very organically. You know, I didn't expect it to kind of take shape in the way that it has. So it's sort of nice to see the work being put into the context of this exhibition and really see how it plays into like a much larger part of what's happening in the Caribbean in different ways. Originally, when they reached out to me, it was, of course, to do a physical show, you know, which is what most of us are used to. But it didn't feel that far off from what I was used to because a lot of my practice has kind of been built through an online community. And I mean, I work with digital photographs, so it's sort of like that way that I naturally work anyways. But it was really nice to sort of see this virtual space set up in the way that they've been doing it and to be, you know, to have the work paired with like, the images of Joyri and Jeffrey and Olivia and everyone. So it feels like a really perfect fit at the end of the day. And
well, I was going to ask, like, if you knew a lot of, I mean, I'm sure you know a lot of the work of the other artists. So, you know, is there anybody that was new to you? And how is that? It must be sort of weird sometimes for an artist. And everybody thought about it. Yeah. It's probably like a blind date, like people just sticking you together and being like, yeah, you guys are going to work together.
I think Lionel might be the person I'm most unfamiliar with, like his practice. But I wasn't familiar with that specific piece that Jeffrey had done. And I did a bit of reading up on it. And I thought it was kind of interesting, especially the way he was speaking about this idea of like the eternal breath. I mean, obviously his work is in relation to migration and my kind of more specifically about identity. But I do play a little bit with that idea as well with this eternal breath. I mean, at the end of the day, a photograph is kind of a way to capture or freeze a moment for an extended period of time. And if you think about it in that kind of abstract way, it's like that is one way to preserve a breath, like being able to go under and just hold that moment forever. So that in a way, like I do explore that idea a little bit as well with my images, this idea of the eternal breath and buoyancy. So in some ways I do relate to some of the themes that Jeffrey's exploring in his piece as well.
Now, very often in your work, I mean, I don't know how often, but I feel like whenever I look at your work, you're in it. Do you?
Yeah.
Is that just because Like, I know I have a friend who's an artist, and he said, I just use myself because I would never want to subject anybody else to what I do. is it about exploring your own identity, or do you just feel like I want to use my body as the every person? Or, you know, is that something? So what is it about your own body in your work?
First of all, I'm the most accessible person I have in my life. I think it's just, it kind of boils down to that. I mean, it's not very often I have people swimming out with me to take pictures. I mean, I go out every day. I try to. Mm-hmm. And part of the experimentation, it's just easier to work with yourself unless you have somebody who's constantly with you. Like, mm-hmm. you know, if a moment comes up and you need to do something, it's just a lot easier to work with your own mm-hmm. body. So it's not really intentional that I'm putting myself out there. It's just, I just think it's probably like the idea of like the person I am and the type of body I inhabit just happens to be coincidental in all of this. But, mm-hmm. you know, it just boils down to accessibility at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And talking about accessibility, I mean, how has it changed? I mean, you spoke about being part of an online community. How much has it changed for you? I mean, St. Vincent is not so easy to access. It's, you know, you got to get like several planes, even if you're on an island right next door, you probably still have to fly to four other places. How is this whole moment of COVID for you and your work? Has it, you know, some artists have told me, listen, nothing's changed for me, or it's better for me. How's the experience been for you in terms of, again, accessibility, communicating with other people, being able to kind of continue with your practice?
Yeah. I mean, the communication has been pretty much the same. Like, that really hasn't changed. It's just a travel aspect of what I do, which, to be honest, is not a huge part of my practice. Like, a huge part of my practice is actually being able to get out and do the work every day. Mm-hmm. So I think this has actually pushed me to get out more into nature, in ways that I wasn't doing before. Like, I think I was playing it a lot safer with my work and like where I was physically allowing myself to venture. And now I'm sort of like really trying to explore my island, like go to places I haven't been before and like really try to like pick things apart and see if there's a way to flip what I'm seeing in a different way, which I think is the most challenging thing when you're confronted with the same sort of images of people and life. You know, it becomes very difficult to like change your perspective when you're in it constantly. So I think that's been my biggest challenge right now.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, Edrin, are you back with us? Maybe not. Okay, well, I was hoping to get him back in. So I think it's interesting because he actually uses, I mean, a little bit, not like you. I mean, you go into nature, but he uses what's around him. And I always wonder, like, after a while, if you can't change your environment, you know, how difficult that must be for an artist to, again, like you were saying, to stay inspired, to find a different point of view, to find a new thing when you're really blocked in. So is there any chance for the curators that this show ever actually does happen in the flesh? Is that at all possible that when this is all over, that it might be possible to bring the artists together and actually make the show happen in the way that you wanted to make it happen?
Was that a question for the curators or me? Sorry.
Curators.
All right.
I mean, it would be a great opportunity once this is over to explore more artworks that would look good in person.
Because I think that would be very, like, it would be interesting to see how, you know, how the shows, it would kind of be an interesting experiment in a way to see how a show is conceived to be in the flesh and then has to go online and then actually to bring it in the flesh again and maybe have a second part to kind of, again, explore that. Nadia, and your, I mean, you said you work with digital photography. When you do, how important is then the object for you and the presence of the object? Because obviously that, I mean, for me, maybe I'm just, again, like old fashioned. When I just look at things on a screen too long, I feel like I need the tactility. So how would you normally want to present your work? And is that something you feel is like a loss to you now? Or is it something that you're just like, well, you know what, I can work with this?
Yeah, I mean, I'm a bit more forgiving, like I said, with it because I am so used to working with the digital and just, you know, like working with social media platforms and websites and this type of thing. Mm-hmm. I mean, with these specific images, I print them on metal. They're kind of mm-hmm. very super glossy, so they give it that mm-hmm. reflective feel. And there mm-hmm. is a different experience you get based on the size and how you interact with it and, you know, the space in between the image. And I mean, it is... You can't really take away from the fact that it is different. But one of the things I really liked about working with these ladies is they actually, they tried to understand the underwater environment that I was swimming in. Even just trying to replicate some of the rocks, the rock structure, because, for instance, a volcanic island, so, we have like a lot of basalt rock, and where I swim, there's a lot of that present. So they tried to replicate some of that underneath, and I think they did a good job in trying to recreate that environment. Like, it brings a different element into it that you wouldn't necessarily be able to get in person. And it really helps people to immerse in a different way with their work, which I quite like.
Yeah, because of course there's a different scale too, right? So there's something about seeing a large scale work of water that in sort of that you envelops you in a way that looking at it on a screen maybe changes.
I mean,
Well,
the ideal thing for me would be to just like submerge people in a tank and have them swim up to the wood. But that's like Hollywood budget, which is
okay, I'll bear that in mind when I win the lottery or whatever. What a great idea. Oh my God, to see a show like with it, like dive down and like, anyway, we're gonna go off tangent. So that's not gonna be your next show, Bettina. We're not gonna get that ambitious. But again, it would be sort of interesting to revisit this in a year maybe and see whether we could bring the artists back together and do a show in person. That would be lovely. And anyway, believe it or not, we've come to the end. It always goes much faster than we want it to go. Just as a quick summary for our listeners, first of all of us dropping in and out, that's just the world we live in today. So I appreciate your patience. But of course, you can, if you've got your good Wi-Fi, you can go see the show, seascapepoetics.com. That's been curated by Bettina Perez Martinez and Simone Cambridge. There are six Caribbean artists in there: Lionel Cruet, Nadia Huggins, Deborah Jack, Olivia McGillcrest, Jeffrey Maris, and Joy Rimanaya. We heard from Edrin Simonet, who was supposed to be part of the show, but because his work is like extremely tactile, and it actually really is what I was talking, like it just doesn't really translate in photographs that well, because there's something about seeing the detail. And so we're sorry that we like dropped him off. But if you're in the Bahamas, you can come to the National Art Gallery of the Bahamas, and we have a beautiful piece by Edrin that was made after it was actually supposed to be on show, but because of Hurricane Dorian, everything went crazy. So we had to put up in our sculpture park. Our sculpture park is open. It's a very beautiful piece called Balance, which again speaks about identity and migration. So you can come see his work there. You can see Seascape Poetics online. You can go online. You can download all of the information about what's going on this month. There's something happening every Friday. So the opening is on Friday at 12, I believe. Hang on a second. February 12th. Yes. February 12th, 12 to 1:30 p.m., a vernissage and a virtual tour. On February 19th, from 12 noon to 2 p.m., there is a talk, How to Be Caribbean, a virtual panel discussion with Lionel Cruet, Jeffrey Maris, Jory Manaya, and Natalia Vieira Salgado. And then on Friday, February 26th, at 7 to 8:30 p.m., there is a virtual screening, excerpts from Seascape Poetics featuring Deborah Jack, Olivia McGillcrest, Jory Manaya, and with Bettina Perez Martinez, who I expect is leading a discussion or a tour and is not one of the artists. So, so that's it. I want to thank you all for being here this evening, despite the technical difficulties. I hope that soon we will be able to meet in person again one day. We're all separated by water right now, actually. Edra's over in Lisbon, Nadia, you're down in St. Vincent, and you guys so far away, and there's not even planes right now to Canada. So we are really blocked. But hopefully soon. So again, thank you so much for being on the Blank Canvas. It was lovely to meet and speak to you all. Thank you to the audience for listening. Go check out that show, seascapepoetics.com, and you will be listening to us next week on Wednesday night, 6:30 p.m., 96.9, when it's the Blank Canvas, the show in which we speak about visual culture and creative community. Thank you so much for listening, and have a great night.